my son is 23. And so Donnie's not that much older than my son. So I was like, well, you're coming here to do, quote unquote, a documentary about my brother, but you weren't even born, you know? You weren't even born in 1990. So what could you possibly report about it? And so we met a few times out in the community. He just took time, and that kind of made me feel like, okay, well, maybe he has good intentions. Maybe he has something in him that he really is compelled to the story and wants to get the truth out. So when I started meeting with him more, I said, okay, well, this is like maybe the spawn or like a new beginning, if you will, to exposing the truth finally after all this time.
I wanted to ask Mrs. Pinnell Dantzler, you have Gary Spath, who was acquitted of manslaughter. You, in a civil suit, got $200,000. Gary Spath got $40,000 every year for the rest of his life, which comes out, what, over $1 million. I was wondering your response to this, and if you want this case reopened, the feds coming in perhaps and investigating your son's civil rights being violated, not to mention his death.
Yes, because when this happened, I was shocked that they got him off with nothing at all. So I was distraught. And so I feel that if anyone get punished, I don't care, like I said, how many years it takes for the truth to come through, they should they should take them and what they did wrong, and they should be punished just like anyone else. Because I work in New Jersey. We pay his tax. So I'm paying his tax for killing my son. That's terrible. We paying his tax for killing my son, shot him in the back. Back in the days, I thought that was murder when you shoot a person in the back with their hands up. He surrendered. He surrendered. But he said he was reaching for a gun. And I carried this for 32 years. How could he say that he carried this all this time? It was a good shoot. How was a good shoot? How could he say things like that? And he got children, then raised them, and he got grandchildren.
Mrs. Thelma Pinnell Dantzler and Natasha Pinnell, we're going to continue this conversation and post online at democracynow.org. And Donnie Gofstein, thanks so much for being with us. The series is called Model America on MSNBC. I'm Amy Goodman.
You're tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Tune in to KBOO on Wednesday, October 5th for Dead Moon Night,
a four-hour extravaganza
celebrating the 2017 event when 1,100 rockers showed up outside Portland City Hall
to commemorate the legendary band Dead Moon in an official city proclamation of October 5th as Dead Moon Night.
Again, that's Dead Moon Night, Wednesday, October 5th, from 8 p.m. till midnight.
Here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. My name is Tammy, and with me is Althea Billings.
Hello, good morning. How are we?
I'm doing surround sound. Can you tell?
Yeah, I'm loving that. Really an immersive ASMR kind of experience.
I actually really enjoyed. I like that. Oh, yeah, that's nice.
That's not what people came here for.
Woof. That was fantastic. Yes, that song gets me. Gets me every time. You're listening to The Gap. That was Beyonce doing the thing.
Know it, learn it.
Learning it, yes.
Didn't know.
Yes, and we're here again, back from our hiatus. Mm-hmm. This is our second episode since our comeback.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and this is The Gap. This is our weekly talk radio show in which we either have interviews or talk about the news that's happening throughout the week in the first part, and the second part is where we open up the phone lines to you, the listener, for our community question.
Mm-hmm.
And just get to know you a little bit better and better each other's lives, honestly.
That's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to do rich community conversation over here. So stick around at 8:30 for that. It's The Gap. We're minding it, we're bridging it, we're filling it in. Talk radio on Fridays. I mean, we might as well jump in. How are you doing, Tammy?
I'm good. That, I don't know. It's like, I feel like I've never heard that theme song before. I'm like, so it's...
Tammy's extra jazz this morning.
Yeah,
it sounds
it's like,
really,
it's exactly what I needed to hear this mm-hmm, morning. Mm-hmm. And because there's been, woof, I don't know, I've been trying to not read the news and what's happening, like, in the morning, even though it's like such a ritual for me.
Yeah.
And it's just too much, and it's okay to say it's too much and I don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wake up with the push notification.
Yeah, I got a new phone, so I don't know how to turn it off on the new phone, and it's just like horrible stuff happening throughout the world. Click here to find out more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good to maybe get some food in your stomach or
some water.
Take a sip of water before you start investing yourself in the world's ills. But hey, we're here to talk about the world's ills.
Got him.
Well, that feels like a bad way to start it, but we do have a news roundup for you today. I don't know if we said that specifically. Got some local stuff to look at. But boy, if there isn't quite a bit happening this week. Probably some of stuff that folks have already been tuned into. Obviously, the human trafficking that Texas and Florida governors are working on right now.
It's wild
to say that they're working on it, you know? They're like, what if we invested taxpayer time and money to just do some quick human trafficking?
Did you see they also had these the pamphlets and stuff that they were handing out to people? It's outrageous. Absolutely outrageous, and still bodes with the way that folks are. It's part of the, it's in a handbook that has been used over and over again. It's sickening, just sickening. But like you said, you know, this is kind of the stuff that's been happening, and folks are aware, or maybe not, but this is kind of the stuff that was happening a lot, that's been showcasing a lot in the news, as well as the protests in Iran. And after, you know, there's the Lebanese Wonder Woman as well. Mm-hmm. And it seems as though women are just kind of, you know, like, we're just absolutely sick of this, especially in these places where it's like everything from your body to the outside of the way that you look. And then if you don't do it right, like what was happening in Iran. Then
yeah, they just had their internet cut yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not the first time it happened. Part of the handbook. And we know what happened last time. There was just a massacre. So keeping an eye on what's happening there, hopefully we'll be able, this is where, you know, journalists and having that press pass, you know, really has some weight, because if folks can't do it, like independent journalists can't blog and bloggers can't, you know, tweet out what's happening, get that information out. This is where those big boys and all those acronyms really come in handy. So I really hope that they do right the will of the people, because it's looking pretty rough.
Yeah, hope that gets good attention, and you know that we can move away from worrying about the British royal family. Yeah, I saw a lot of people before the Iranian internet get cut online being like, can can the world media please stop talking about the spider crawling across Queen Elizabeth's coffin and maybe focus on the mass, like, popular uprising happening in Iran right now? Like, that might be more relevant. But look, we're not here to belabor this point. We can move on from it.
They are opening up the investigation,
into the spider?
No.
Oh.
No. Into the murder in custody of Mahsa Amini,
yeah.
And they're saying that they're going to open up an investigation, but it's pretty.
It's like asking a spider to investigate who made this web.
Right.
Whoa. That was a good metaphor.
Like,
I just did.
Spider-Man pointing the finger at other Spider-Men.
Yeah.
Like, you did this.
Good Spider-related memes. We just made.
Oh,
up.
I didn't even mean to do that. And then the last one I wanted to bring is the Lebanon's Wonder Woman. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they're coining it. And of course, you know, it's from an Al Jazeera article. So there has been the market, the currency, absolute economic crisis that's happening in Lebanon. It's been happening. And we had a good episode about it with Khiba and Hayat, and who's in Beirut. And she was telling us a little bit about what was happening, a lot more around the petrol, as they say there, or the gas and medication. The supplies was dwindling. There was no money. People couldn't afford it. People were, you know, just waiting in lines for hours. And then in rural areas, it was even worse. And now, you know, pulling up what I guess a year later, people are going into banks in Lebanon and they are with plastic guns, and they're withdrawing their savings, and they're not even getting their savings. They're not even able to get most of it. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, of course, the folks there have this one specific story of this Lebanese woman who quote unquote stole her own savings from a bank, and saying she is not a criminal. My opinion, of course not. But wow, that's where folks are. It's like, you know how Zimbabwe had like the 10,000 million like note. They had like all these notes that were just ridiculously just like unfathomable, like amounts of money in a note.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that's where Lebanon is heading. But we're seeing a lot of folks saying we're not going to take this anymore. And hopefully, then they'll be protected.
Well, and I'm just looking at the article. Why she did it was to pay for her sister's medical expenses. So it's one thing to steal your own money.
if I wanted to go, if in the middle of war I wanted to go buy a new pair of shoes, I can do that. Mm. I earned, that's my hard earned money.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to tell me you're not going to. You had a loan for medical bills for a loved one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, because it's like that whole thing of like respectability politics. And well, why did she do it? Because it's hers. That's why. But yes, but also on top of it, and it's not like, again, like there's little medication. There's not a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And
Wonder Woman.
There it is. So again, some of the stuff that folks have been hearing, or some of the big items that have been floating around in the news cycle. Oh, and we have another one about the Oregon ballot.
Oh, yeah. We have reported on this earlier this week about two measures on the Oregon ballot that would both make amendments to the state constitution, measures 111 and 112. 112 would remove they call it a loophole, but basically copying the 13th Amendment saying that slavery is banned except as a punishment for a crime. And then 111 would establish the right to health care. So two amendments to the state constitution.
Portland really said, I can excuse slavery, but I draw the line on not giving health care.
Yeah, exactly.
And
Tammy's reworking of her favorite community quote.
In Oregon is it's interesting because it, like, you know, one of the last, you know, you're saying it, one of the last
states.
It is
in the minority. Yeah, there's like 30 states that don't have this loophole. Tennessee, Colorado in the past couple of years got rid of theirs.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
Wow, good for them.
But we would be the first in the nation to establish a right to health care.
They said, listen, if we're going to do all this, let's try to, I don't know, two steps forward, three steps back. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, hey, look, a little bit of house cleaning that has to go to everybody in the state to clean up.
Well, but this doesn't actually do anything. That like
it doesn't change, like the Oregon Correctional Enterprises endorses it, so that's how you know it doesn't really change anything. Because, I think that it's from, look, clean up the language. That's great, but it doesn't prevent prisoners being paid cents on the dollar for their labor. That's still happening. So yeah, but you know, it all goes back to the U.S. Constitution. But imagine if they were trying to get enough mobilization to change that about the 13th Amendment. Hoo boy, that would be quite the fight.
Not in an election year.
Not in an election year. Should we shift into our Oregon stuff?
Oh, yes. I'd love to. Thank you.
All right. Do you want to introduce it or do you want me to introduce it?
Please, you're DeLorenzo is at it again.
Yep.
Dum-dum-dum.
Yeah. I didn't know if you had an intro music for it. But the vocal stylings are lovely, and I love it. So last week we talked about this lawsuit from John DeLorenzo representing 10 Portlanders with disabilities, basically saying that the city of Portland has violated the Americans with Disabilities Act by allowing people to camp on the sidewalk. And wouldn't you know it, John DeLorenzo, he's been around, you know, he's doing stuff. And we mentioned it briefly last week that he was someone who sued the state for restricting business. He's often helping to businesses to sue the government. But OPB reported on a letter threatening a lawsuit also related to homelessness about campers at Laurelhurst Park. And representing an unidentified number of neighbors. Now, why is it, what is the grounds that this letter and potential lawsuit are sitting on?
You ready for it?
Do you want to hit it? You want me to hit it? Trees! The health of the trees. Oh my God, Jimmy, that scared me. I didn't know that was going to happen.
That was the point, but I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
My heart skipped a beat. Okay. Refocusing on the trees. thank you. If you could just give me like a point when it's going to happen, then I won't be scared.
I'm sorry. Never again. I'm sorry, everyone.
No, do it again. It was funny. I mean, not right this second because I want to finish my thought.
You said trees and it was a perfect opportunity.
Yeah. But anyway, DeLorenzo writes this letter to the city that the campers at Laurelhurst Park need to be moved because the status quo is too dangerous. He argues that campers are damaging the trees along the park's outer edge, and those trees could injure somebody, and the city could get sued by somebody who got injured by a tree falling on them.
DeLorenzo he's like the Lorax over here.
Yeah, he's speaking for the sidewalks and he's speaking for the trees. It is interesting, though, that the Laurelhurst Neighborhood Association, who, mind you, is very aggravated about this camp, say they didn't know anything about this letter. The letter was in August, that OPB got through a public records request. The law firm commissioned a 19-page report from these arborists to talk about what was the relationship between camps and the trees. And the city says they haven't gotten a chance to look at the trees. So look, it's just, he has a multi-pronged approach. And also just a little bit of flashback of John DeLorenzo, of why you may have heard of him before. He, is the person that commissioned the private security firm Echelon to surveil a homeless camp downtown at Southwest 12th and Taylor, because he co-owns the apartment complex across the street, private surveillance of you know, campers, and then gave that to the city, gave them this, like, how ethically
a dossier.
Yeah. How ethically was the surveillance captured? No knowledge of that, but then police did go and sweep them shortly thereafter. So, I mean, I don't know. He was successful at that, I suppose. The people that he hired, like, went into people's tents when they were gone and, like, photographed their stuff.
Oh, yeah, they had some of those pictures up online. this guy is a menace, and I think that doing these things are, you know, I was telling you, it's like it's a big it's a big deal. It's setting precedents is, you know, can be, it worries me to, you know, when these precedents are set, mm-hmm. Because then you can always say, you know, refer to a case in this place and in that place. And by golly, he's being quite creative. And also yeah. the fact that he's, yeah, the manipulation of, you know, like, I'm, you know, being like, look, I'm a Lorax. I'm speaking for the trees. You know, I'm not being mm-hmm. a schmuck. You know, it's like, no, you kind of a schmuck. And then also in the same light, using the ADA as like a tool to mm-hmm. be like, you know, this is what the sidewalks aren't ADA accessible.
Yeah.
And then, but before that, you know, to heck with ADA because you're worried more about the businesses and COVID restrictions.
That's yeah. a great connection.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, And this is what one of our callers brought up last week, like the difference between information and data.
I love that. I've been using that a lot.
Yeah, and that, like, the context of the history of this person's work and what they have both personally invested in, being mm-hmm. private surveillance of people across the street from his apartment building, and what they've done professionally, and who it is that their work typically benefits. And I think there's a bit of lampshading from what I've seen of, you know, press conferences and press releases about this kind of thing, coming from DiLorenzo saying stuff to the effect of like, oh, well, I'm not saying, I'm just trying to force the city to build emergency shelters. Because, of course, we're under that, like, Ninth mm-hmm. Circuit Court of Appeals ruling, whatever. That means that you can't sweep people off of public property if there aren't ample shelter beds. And look, there's a lot of ways in which I think anybody who follows city policy on housing and homelessness can see that, what are we, dragging our feet? Like, we have a lot of resources now dedicated to this. There's, you know, popular desire to make it happen. What's happened? Where are the safe rest villages?
Yeah.
Dan Ryan, hello? Like, there's a lot of ways in which there are things in place to start making things better that are going slow. And I, like, understand the frustration. But to attack it from this other angle, I feel like is just scummy, you know? And it's putting people in the crosshairs of this situation that isn't good for anybody, ideally, you know?
Yeah, it's very much like using people in like a pond, you know, and not and I don't know, it makes me really, you know, and wintertime is coming, wintertime's right around the corner.
Using public, like, and then, you know, suing the city or whatever, like using public funded dollars to fight your lawsuit, like, or to settle, like, I don't know, not that people shouldn't get a settlement from this, I don't know what I'm saying, I just, it doesn't feel, I think it would be accurate to say that it doesn't feel like the system is working properly if this is all successful, you know?
I mean, this is, it's very, I don't know, just, it's like a, I think, you know, all those, like, lawyer jokes and stuff, and, like, how lawyers get a bad rep for being, like, heartless.
Uh-huh.
I think, like, you know, this is like one of those things where it's just like, I don't know, how can you do this and then justify, it's, I don't know, it's I don't think he actually wants, like, people to, I mean, I don't know, I can me and my opinions can go find ourselves playing at a park, you know, but it just, this, these methods are really, really concerning to me, and using these
the worst part is that I know he's clapping himself on the back.
Yeah,
he's like, and yeah, I'm a lot cleaning of people up Portland are,
yeah, I mean,
the city won't do anything, so I'll do it.
We'll be honest. We know the rep that the city has out, you know, outside of Multnomah County. You know, it's like it's not a secret that folks, you know,
I
mean, that,
yeah, I think everybody's not, like, frustrated with the process.
Yeah, and folks use Portland as like, oh, that you're going there, you know, or like, oh, you're from there, you know, like when you go out of state and people are out of the city, or and people are like, oh, you're from there, and they like
are you okay,
yeah, and it's, what's like, it, yeah, like, it's perfectly fine.
I think I've told this story before, but I was like, oh yeah, I live in Portland, and somebody's like, oh, Portland, and I was like expecting the like, ooh, what's sure, going yeah. on, and they're like, the breweries, we've always wanted to go tour the breweries, and I was like, the breweries,
that's right, that does exist.
that is another thing that we could be known for.
We can move. We have more. I just looked at the time. We could really go down.
We could keep going. But look, we're keeping an eye on it. He's made himself a major player. We keep an eye on the major players. She gave me the hand that time. I didn't get scared. Okay. Next local story. If you haven't heard, we got a record fine from the Small Donor Elections Program here in Portland. For Renee Gonzalez, who orders of magnitude of a larger fine than has ever been gotten. Now, the Small Donor Election Program...
Record-setting.
Yeah. Basically is where you can't... it's trying to get big money out of city politics, because we know that the trend has been, especially for Portland City Council, that big money gets you pretty far. So if you're in the Small Donor Elections Program, you get matching funds contributed to you by the city from what you get from constituents. I forget what the exact ratio is, but it limits you to a $250 donation. That's like the highest amount that you can give to a candidate. And you're not allowed to take in-kind contributions. That's basically like a donation in the form of a gift or a service. Like you can't, some kind of material thing. You're not allowed to do that.
You have an event and the venue is like, here, we're doing it. The venue is in kind, so you don't have to pay for it. Yeah.
So it's from a unreported in-kind contribution that Renee Gonzalez is accused of accepting from Jordan Schnitzer, billionaire Portland property magnate, Jordan Schnitzer, it's Gonzalez's where his election headquarters are downtown. It's in a building owned by Schnitzer, so he has office space and two parking spots downtown. This is a big part of it. Every one of the articles about this is like, guys, there's two parking spaces. Retail, that would be about $7,000 per month. Since May, they've only paid $250 a month.
That's a 96% discount
for the space, which is pretty significant. 3,000 square feet of downtown office space on Southwest 11th, and so Gonzalez is running against Commissioner Joanne Hardesty, so they're not allowed to take any of this. But Gonzalez has gotten $370,000 from city money from this program, and now he has to give it back because he should not have been taking it. He's also required to pay back Schnitzer Properties $33,000 as a part of it, and which is a significant amount of money. But they're saying basically that it wasn't an in-kind contribution. They didn't get an over 90% discount on downtown office space. That's silly. That's what anybody would pay, because the pandemic and the recession is so bad downtown that you could get 3,000 square feet of office space and two parking spots for $250. That's their argument now.
They should tell that to all the landlords across town within the last 2 years who have been terrible.
Yeah,
I think that should be.
Or they have to show that Jordan Schnitzer was cutting that deal to everyone.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Okay, let's give that same energy to everyone. Oh, I can do that.
I need to redo this from one of the articles. At $77,000, the fine will make city history as the second ever issued by Small Donor Elections Program, and orders of magnitude greater than the first. Side note, Ted Wheeler broke the law last time, but because he loaned himself money for his campaign, but the city auditor kind of let it slide. So I don't know why that didn't factor into getting fined by the Small Donor Election Program, whatever. Former candidate Candace Avalos, who unsuccessfully ran for departing Commissioner Amanda Fritz's seat in 2020, gave a small donation to her own campaign, which at the time was against the rules, but the rules have since been changed to allow it. So the first ever fine was $5 in 2020. and now we're looking at a $77,000 fine for someone running for city office. So we will see how that shakes out. They have a couple of avenues that they might be able to get some of it knocked off. I'm sure they're going to challenge it. I don't know how in court you're going to Well, look, again, this is lawyers.
They'll say, well, actually, it's for...
There's no mitigation of what they'll say with their
We're speaking for the trees. He lost me at speaking for the trees. What?
No, $250 for 3,000 square feet and two parking spaces downtown. That's what the pandemic did to Portland. Okay?
Where do you find that at? You find that on Amazon? Where's that at?
Yeah, what are you guys on? You guys on Craigslist? Can I get
$250 a month? I can swing that.
We
could do that. What?
It's such a funny argument that I would be embarrassed to say it, even if it was my job. You know?
Yeah, like, that is one of those, you know, like...
I guess there isn't really any other defense that you could try to rest on, so... desperate times call
for... I feel like I would make a fantastic
desperate
lawyer.
Desperate stretches of the truth.
I love imagination. I'm imaginative.
Yeah, people don't necessarily always highlight that as part of what makes a great lawyer, but imagination is definitely
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. I love rhyming.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Halfway
I love
there.
Slogans.
Slogans?
Yeah.
Boom. That's pretty outrageous. I gotta be honest with ya. That is unbelievable. And I think that, you know, just for... Because I can see maybe someone being like, well, it's just like... It's just a space, you know. It's not like they're funneling like millions of dollars or like injecting millions of dollars into the campaign or something. But, you know, having a space to, especially like, imagine like in your daily expenses, if your rent was knocked off, like
you could pay 10% of what your rent is right now.
Right.
How would that change things at a
96% discount.
Yeah.
You know, and like that's a lot to sneeze at.
It's nothing to sneeze at.
I'd be seeing all the money I'd have left. I'd be sneezing all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's you know, that's money that can get that's enough money to, you know, hire a part-time person. You know,
right.
That's enough money for like more ads or more, you know, like printing materials.
Mm-hmm.
It's
significant.
It is significant.
I think it's worth, you know, reiterating why did these kind of things happen and why did we make this program to begin with, is so that, you know, if you were the billionaire property magnate, you actually can't have an outsized influence on candidates because you gave somebody such a steep discount in such choice real estate that if you get elected, that's probably going to count for something more than if you could just donated $250.
Mm.
Not necessarily in this case provably, but like overall is like that's somebody's ear. That's somebody's preference. You know, if you have that much money to throw around, you can make things happen for people. Money wins elections. So there's a reason that the playing field is, we tried to level it with this policy. And I think over time it's still being shaped so that it is meaningful, you know? And we have plenty of folks in the political orbit in Portland for sure that are determined to skirt it. And, you know, statewide we have some of the most lax campaign finance laws in the country. And every time we try to do something about it, big money stands up and says, no, I would actually like to be able to talk to, sure. I would actually like to be able to keep my influence.
It's just really sad because, you know, Gonzalez is part of the small donor program, election program. And this is exactly the type of, like, this is exactly why it exists, you know? Mm. And it's just like really sad. It's disappointing, you know? It's like, man, you know, you didn't, man, really?
Right, mm-hmm. Like there's the social benefit of signing up for it and
like
saying that you're doing it.
Why just don't do it, you know? But you do because your constituents would look at you funny if you don't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly probably why you did an in-kind donation and not get this money like hard cash.
Cold hard cash.
I don't know what is happening.
Speaking
here.
Of fraud.
Speaking of fraud.
Our last local story before we hit the phones is about a Westland dentist who stole $11.5 million from COVID relief funds. This story comes to us from the Clackamas Review. We love to talk about fraud on this show. Tammy, give us the slogan.
Someone is getting sued.
Someone's getting sued.
I'm keeping that from last season.
Yeah. Well, I think you have a calendar year on it. So 2023, you're going to have a new prediction.
Okay. Okay. I have a couple more months. Yeah.
Yeah,
somebody's
yeah.
getting sued.
So keep it cooking. Sawan Ajaj, who was a dentist, took millions from the small. Well, he tried to get loans from the Small Business Administration between September 2020 and May 2021. Dozens of applications, all of them rejected. So then, go to the Restaurant Revitalization Fund.
So rude.
Much greater success. Did he own any restaurants? No. That why should that matter?
When you're doing fraud, it doesn't. You can,
yeah, he lives in West Lynn, but submitted 3 applications for restaurants allegedly located in Sarasota, Miami, and Daytona Beach, Florida. Which, you know, all. Not to be rude.
Hot spots.
Fraud, Florida, you know.
Is that a thing?
Oh. I can understand why you'd say, no, I got restaurants down in Florida. Like, who's going to check? You know what I mean? So $11.5 million from the Small Business Association. Jeez. In fraudulent loans, grants, and lenders' fees. And then he also pled guilty earlier this year to illegally distributing controlled substances he obtained through his profession as a dentist.
Likes to party. I don't know. That's the vibe I'm getting. But $11 million. You know, the audacity, I don't know. Okay, how do you go to do fraud in place A. They say, no, you can't do it.
Then that's
you
go the thing, to the determination.
You go to the other
dozens,
place.
Dozens put in and they're like, no. And not even saying this is fraud. It's just like, no, we don't accept your application.
And it's so much work. You got to figure out names of restaurants. You got to think of chefs. You got to think of motifs for these restaurants.
Make up addresses.
It's, I mean, you might as well work for it. I mean, that's a full-time job right there.
Yeah, Tammy and I were ruminating on how much effort fraud takes.
And then let's say like 1,000, 2,000, 10,000, boom, 20,000. I understand.
Yeah, let it
11
go.
Million.
11 million.
Dude, come on.
Don't spend it all in one place.
No. Woof. But he has agreed to pay.
Yeah, he's facing time in prison for the drug charges and for the fraud, and yeah, lots of fines.
Man. Woof. Yeah, there's a lot of chickens are coming home to pipe the piper. You know, there's a lot of people. There was the other.
Yeah, it's been a thing in the. I feel like all of the pandemic fraud stuff is starting to come out, and it's been overshadowed by the queen dying and all.
Someone's getting sued.
Junk. But yeah,
there's the lady that did like just fake COVID.
Oh yeah,
that was
here.
I mean, that was receipts. That's catering. That's events. That's booking up fake.
Venues. Yeah.
Fraud is a lot of work, it sounds like. I'm going to stick to working, I think.
Yeah, I might as well just stay on it. Fraud sounds too hard, to be honest.
I don't even think they get insurance.
I just really wish that there had been the initial legislation had been good enough to like not allow the kind of tomfoolery, I'll say it, that has been perpetrated since.
Right,
then.
The CCC?
PPP.
There's the
COVID. Oh, both.
Yeah. Yeah, but was it the COVID something control?
All of the relief funds were written in such a way that, you know who really needed to be protected during the pandemic? Wells Fargo. What did you guys?
And Shake Shack.
Yeah. God forbid you switch to online banking. Okay. All right. I'm done. Sorry. We can move on from this.
I can't. It's the COVID.
I'm just going to keep railing against how.
It was pretty overwhelming, and it's interesting. The CCC place, they, you know, they're the place that had the multiple locations, and they had like
the
COVID
fake testing
that they wouldn't even refrigerate or anything. And
no, they're just oh yeah, just put it in this trash bag. We'll get back to you.
And they had the whistleblowers had pictures of folks that were working in this COVID center. And they just had like these two trash bags of,
like,
of COVID tests.
These ones have COVID. These ones don't.
Oh my goodness!
They got the
charlatans
email notification while they were in line to get the test that they didn't have COVID. Anyway.
Anywho's, yeah. We're
fraudsters
gonna...
are everywhere. Anyone can do fraud. That sounds motivational.
It does. Really... Like, what are you? Whoa!
Look, you want $11 million? You got to work for it. Okay. You need to create fake restaurants in Sarasota, Miami, and Daytona Beach. Why didn't they start them here? I feel like it's too provable if you go to Oregon. You know, what is the Small Business Association want to go to Sarasota? No.
Oh, well, sounds like a fun vacation.
Well,
never been to Sarasota. I don't know.
I haven't.
I don't even know.
Sarasota, call in.
Got him.
Should we hit the midway?
Quick musical break.
Yeah, we're going to do a quick musical break and we'll be back with our community question. You're listening to The Gap on KBOO Radio. Stay with us.
Stood a beautiful honey with a beautiful body. She asked me for the time. I said the cost of her name, 6-digit number, and a date with me tomorrow at 9. Did she decline? No. Didn't she mind? I don't think so. Or was it for real? Damn sure. But what was the deal? A pretty girl is 24. So is she cute? She couldn't wait. Cinnamon queen. Let me update.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap, and we are back. A little of that Craig David. Xeno 7 Days?
No.
Wow, that is a classic. No, that's really I grew up with this song. Mm. Yeah, this is where we can see the gap in our millennialism. We are opening up the phone lines to part two. This is where we ask you, the listener, a question. We have a community question, and then we open up the phone lines. And love to get your input. The phone number is 503-231-8187. And Althea, would you like to ask the community question?
Yes. So, okay, today we're asking people, it's a little broad, but I want you to interpret it how you interpret it. What's overrated? What's underrated?
Boom.
Boom. Simple as. Yeah, give us a call. What's something that is you think is overrated and why? But then also, what's something that's underrated? Maybe give someone or something some props. Give us a call, 503-231-8187. What came to mind for you on overrated, underrated? If you want to call in and say something is as appropriately rated, like we do.
Oh, yeah, what's overrated, under, and what's exactly, was it?
Exactly as hyped or unhyped as it should be.
What's that story with the bears and the porridge and us?
Goldilocks?
Classic Goldilocks.
Yeah, just right.
Just right. Would you like to, is there any, I'm going to say it. I think the Metallica is very much overrated.
Whoa.
I went there. I know. Not even 10 o'clock in the morning. Completely overrated.
She's swinging, folks.
Also, they were like, there was a time when they got mad at Napster and they like shut down Napster and they went on this whole campaign after they were like making millions of dollars. Although, yes, of course, artists need to get paid for their money. I know it. And I'm going to not say anything more besides for I think Metallica is overrated.
Okay, all right, we're rocking and rolling it.
Getting some phone calls. All right, I got. I'm sorry, y'all.
What is overrated? What is underrated? Give us a call, 503-231-8187. I got an answer here that I've been thinking about. It's in response to the English majors in my life. I think reading quote unquote literature or books for smart people is overrated. Not that those books aren't great, but, you know, there's plenty of people out here. Our attention spans are less than they used to be. Maybe you used to be an avid reader in school, but it's been hard to get motivated. You don't have to read the important book every time. You can read stuff that's fun and work up an appetite. That I had to do that recently, and I felt kind of guilty about it because the English majors in my life are like, oh, I'm reading this and this, and I got one of them to admit that what they were reading was actually not as smart as they thought it was. It was actually nonsense.
Are you going on your literature spiel?
It's my literature spiel. And so I think, you know what's underrated? Just reading for fun. Mm. You know, you get to do that as a when you're learning to read, Cat in the Hat and whatnot. You know, what's the Dr. Seuss equivalent for an adult reading level? Have a good time. Read a mystery. Read something steamy. You know, do whatever you need to do. It's reading itself is good for you. So that's my overrated, underrated pitch.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm reading you right now. I'm kidding. We do have Sam on the line. Can you hear us?
I sure can.
Awesome. You are on the air. What do you find overrated, underrated, and just right?
Okay. Underrated is the entire world system of global resource management. Basically, take away, don't give back, cause climate catastrophic results. That's the underrated. And the overrated is the body being able to continue to do activities that used to do 25 years ago. Don't put pressure on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
All the ads for, you know, increased longevity, become young again, skin cream reduces your age by 20 years, that kind of thing.
Boy, the skin creams, I tell you what.
Well, it's just people should realize that they are who they are, and a lot of that stuff is based on resource extraction, and it causes harm to the world. It's either that or chemical, you know, creating chemicals by cracking oil molecules and then putting it in your face cream. It's all the same paradigm. It's you know, use it up, and when you don't have any more, dig it out of the ground and make more.
Yeah, do whatever it takes.
Yeah, it's like the GDP is a false indicator of the health of the earth.
Oh yeah,
that's yeah.
You know, it's all
like
based
that.
On the holy buck, whether the buck is in Europe or Africa or South America or Asia or Russia or China or, you know.
Oh,
the exchange is all wrong. Anyways, that's my little spiel.
Well, we appreciate you calling and giving us your ratings.
Sorry it wasn't so specific as, like, you said about reading, which I thought was delightful.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope you read a fun book sometime soon.
I'm reading all the time.
So all right.
I love to read. And it's not just on a screen either.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah. It's good for the eyesight.
It's fun stuff.
It's fun stuff. All right. Well, thank you so much for calling. Have
You're
a great
welcome.
Rest of your day.
You too.
Take care.
If other folks want to call, we're doing ratings today. What's overrated? What's underrated? Let us know. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Let us know what you think. I like what Sam said there. I think, yeah, overrated, so that's things that people give way more credence to than they ought to. Underrated, things that people don't give nearly enough credence to. I've said credence a lot.
You love the credence.
No,
credence,
don't say
water.
That. My mom will get mad. She doesn't like them.
We have another caller. You're on the air. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I hear you.
Hey, hey.
Good morning, everybody. First off, I want to give you all props. I like what you do. I'm listening to your show when I can, and I like the energy.
Thank you.
So keep up the good work. So first, overrated thing, I would say American freedom and democracy. Out of 10, I'm gonna give it a 3.
A 3, okay, that's higher than it could be. So,
and I'm thinking about other countries. I lived in Taiwan for 12 years, so I witnessed them moving from an autocracy. You know, they slowly reformed into a democracy, and they have. When it's time to vote for president or whatever, I think their rate for participation is something like 98%.
Oh, wow.
In presidential elections. So if you compare that to America, what are we like? Is close to 50% of the voters turn out?
Even that seems generous. I think in a midterm year, it's maybe 30%.
Yeah, plus, I mean, they have their problems. There's some corruption and vote buying. But we have that in America. It's just like, it's not as much in your face. It's more... Like you were talking about the fraud, it's kind of like behind closed doors and the advertising money. And I don't know much about Italy, but I know they have a large voter turnout. And I was in Costa Rica when they were having a presidential election, and the people of different parties were kind of like jovial and kind of fun. Whereas in America, it seems like you might want to be careful about talking to getting a Republican and a Democrat in the same room. Blood might squirt. I don't know.
Mm.
So that's my overrated American. We keep talking about spreading freedom around the world where people in America don't have enough freedom.
Yeah.
Democracy. And my underrated is a little bit more. Oh, did you have?
No. Please. I like your point. That's all I was going to say. Keep going.
So my underrated is a lot more light, not so deep. Chip Fu, who a lot of people out there say, back in the day, some people might remember the rap group, the Fusnickens. And Chip Fu was the guy who had the real speedy rap. And people don't know that he's still out there making music, and he's well known for like top rap hits, but he's also from Barbados, and so he's won competitions for like Jamaican and Caribbean rap competitions. And anyway, he's a really dope producer, music maker, and all that. So I want to give him props on the air.
Nice.
Very cool.
Thank you. I was hoping someone would do that. I love that.
Okay.
I appreciate you. Have a good day.
All right.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
Bye. I love that.
I think that is, both of those nailed the prompt, so I appreciate it. Overrating, underrating. Give us your ratings. You want to rate something? Call in 503-231-8187.
And we have one more caller on the line. Is this Camilo? Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
How are you?
First of all, I'm okay.
All right.
But I'm 80 years old. So I'm as well as you could be for an old man. And I'm just pleased as punch to have you back. It's always scary when people disappear off the radio. You never know why, but
we're here
back.
For you, Camilla. Don't
we're
worry.
Here. We're back.
We're here.
So I have a follow-up to the first person who spoke about, sort of about aging and what you expect your body to do. And what my overrated is sex. And the way that I realized that was that I had cancer of the prostate, and part of the treatment is what they call androgen depletion therapy, which means you get something that destroys all your testosterone, because testosterone promotes the cancer cells.
Uh-huh.
And I realized after, you know, living a lifetime of being a sexual person, that if I had the ability when I was younger to turn it off the way this chemical does, I could have saved myself and a lot of women a lot of grief.
Okay.
That is enlightening.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was anxious before the treatment started about it, but, you know, once it did, I said, it's just not so bad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can still enjoy life without having sex.
There is more to life.
So that's overrated. And what's underrated, I think, is just laying around and doing nothing. And
I love that.
You know, you're always driven to be doing something, achieving something. But this is really a tremendous benefit in just being able to feel content with nothing to do at all.
Mm-hmm.
Just dream or
read a
book, as you suggested. But, you know, you don't even have to do that.
Stare at the wall. That's fine.
Yeah, I used to do that a lot when I was in my residency training. I'd come home, I'd be so exhausted from the day, I'd just sit down and look at my ceiling. I thought I stared at it so long there was a brown spot beginning to form up there.
Oh, boy. I know what you mean, though. Sometimes I have way too much. I'm amply social, and then I need to come home stare at the wall for a little while.
And yeah,
that's fine.
Balance in all things, the overrating and the underrating.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
We appreciate you calling. Glad to hear from you. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Have a good one.
Yeah, you too, Carla. We got a few minutes left here. If folks want to call in, what is your rating? What's overrated? What's underrated? Let us know. 503-231-8187. We do love to hear from folks. We got a couple minutes left. Why not? Let us know what you're thinking. We've heard a wide breadth of things, so really it's open-ended, and people have really taken that and run with it, which we appreciate, because there's large-scale things that are overrated, underrated, and small things, individuals, the idea of sitting at home and doing nothing, that's underrated, certainly.
Yes, especially when you're, it's like, if you're not making anything, you're doing nothing, you're the worst. And we have another caller on the line. We have a couple more minutes left. Can you hear us, caller?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Hi. You are on the air.
So for underrated, I would say the power of negative television advertising on average voters.
Mm.
With a qualifier that it depends if you're in a blue city, that tends to be less so for negative Republican ads. But on Overrated, my name's Lou, and I'm with Portland Grey Panthers. I talked to your program. I like your program. We have been doing election forums. So Rene Gonzalez, you mentioned earlier in the program, he's talked with us at candidate forums, along with John Hardesty, not at the same ones. But I happened to go by the office that's the subject of the $77,000 fine. It's 1010 Southwest 11th, Rene Gonzalez's office headquarters. Jordan Schnitzer hasn't responded to our nonprofit's request for donating office space. He's a very big donor to nonprofits. But the Gonzalez situation is interesting. I would say the Overrated part would be his campaign manager, Shaw Smith, a Portland State person, and Renee's, when he talked to us, their confidence that they think that because people are upset in Portland with the current state of issues like housing and other things, that Joanne Hardesty has really high negative numbers, and therefore Renee says he's confident that he'll win. So I'd say that would be my Overrated example.
So you think that the whatever, you know, negatives they're perceiving that folks might have against Joanne Hardesty, well, you think that's overrated?
You've probably talked about it before in your program, but there's People for Portland and, you know, the large money that's going into Betsy Johnson's campaign, and Joanne's an incumbent. Portland Grey Panthers is now a PAC, Political Action Committee, not just a C3. So we've already endorsed Joanne Hardesty to get reelected. She's, you know, as KBOO people know, Joanne's an activist and the first black woman in the history of the city on the council. And it's also interesting, you probably are following, Vadim Mazursky came in third in the primary for the city council race. So he's not in the race in the general election, but Vadim is also the main organizer of the no on the charter reform proposal. So it's sort of, it ties in, I think, to what you were talking about to start with, of that people who are used to using power want to defend it, which can be business people primarily.
Yeah,
so thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for calling, Lou.
Bye.
There it is. I'm trying to think of any underrated, overrated that come off the top of my head, but I can't think of any. Although it seems like folks have a lot of ratings. I love this.
Yeah.
And we have another caller on the line. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. You're on the air.
I think that eating designer fancy foods is way overrated, especially in Portland. And I think that growing your own food is way underrated. Mm-hmm. And more to the point, I think that farm workers who currently grow our foods are way underrated. So, like, if you have a master's in business association, I give you on a scale of 1 to 10, like, a negative 1. But if you are a farm worker and you grow blueberries, which I enjoy, I give you a 10, you know, plus the negative that came off the MBA.
Wow.
So, you know, underrating people who feed us is constant. Mm-hmm. And overrating the people who oppress us is constant. So I say, on the perfect note, the gap is perfect. And
all
I just
right.
love you so much.
Thank you
for calling. Bye. I appreciate it. Yeah, that's another terrific interpretation of the prompt.
He said just right. And we have time for one more caller. What do you think, Althea?
I think gotta be quick.
You gotta
we'll
be quick. Caller, can you hear us? You're on the air.
Yes, I think what's overrated is the sense of happiness through capitalism and safety through cops. And what's underestimated is the joy and safety through mutual caring and reconnecting with nature. And what's underrated is the need for each of us to donate to KBOO.
Thank you. We appreciate that. I love that. So much great input today. So much great input on this question. We are now, unfortunately, out of time. So thank you to everybody who called. We really appreciate it. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. We hope we started you off right. This has been The Gap on KBOO Portland. I'm Althea.
I am Tammy, wishing you a fantastic, happy weekend and New Year and beyond.
We'll be back next week. See you then.
Take care.
Bye.
Monday, took her for a drink on Tuesday.